want to thank Brother Andy for his prayer, as well as each of you who have been praying. The subject or the title of the message this evening would be, What Am I Communicating? We live in a time when tremendous potential to communicate by our words. We have numerous avenues by which we can say what we want to say. The old-fashioned way to communicate seems to be landline phones. I still like them. Progress has brought us cell phones, emailing, texting, twittering, Skype, and Facebook, to name some. These methods can be used to send positive, valuable messages, or they can be used in a detrimental fashion, saying or posting words that would have been better left unsaid. While words can be, and they are, very powerful, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Still, in our communication with others, it really takes more than words. Now, it is true that words by themselves can be very harmful and can cause damage, much damage. In fact, they can bring results that can only be recovered from by the grace of the Lord. Yet, when we try to cultivate positive and effective messages, words really aren't enough. They need something to back them up or to give them some validity. For example, what value are the words, I'm sorry, if one's attitude and actions don't say the same thing? What's the value in saying I'll do something if I don't follow it up and do it? What's the value of saying words, I love you, on Valentine's Day, or since that's in our minds, or any day for that matter, if we don't prove it by our actions of love and respect? Words aren't enough. They are not enough. Charles Schulz illustrated it vividly in his Peanuts comic strip, how words are not enough, and Charlie Brown and Linus come across Snoopy, who's shivering in the snow. And, well, our dog hasn't had too much snow to shiver in, has yours? Not this year. But Charlie says, Snoopy looks kind of cold, doesn't he? Linus replies, I'll say, maybe we'd better go over and comfort him. And they walk over to the dog and they pat his head. And Charlie Brown says, be of good cheer, Snoopy. And Linus adds, yes, be of good cheer. And in the final frame, the boys are walking away, still bundled up in their winter coats, and Snoopy is still shivering. Words just aren't enough. Paul is an example of one who communicated with more than words. You know, someone has said that if we communicate from our head, we may change somebody's mind. If we communicate from our heart, we might change their attitudes. But if we communicate from our lives, we have the potential of changing their lives. Paul did that, communicated from his life, and he used various ways to communicate a godly example and a godly message. And his influence on Timothy had such an effect that Timothy chose to follow after him. And in the beginning of chapter 3, that Brother Andy read there of 2 Timothy, Paul states that there were some characteristics of the false teachers and unbelievers, a list in the beginning. And then in verse 10, he says, just to reread that verse and to get our minds there, he said, but thou, speaking to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. The words fully known there means to follow near or to conform to or to have an understanding. And rather than accepting the message of the ungodly, Timothy chose to follow or to pattern his life after Paul's example, what he had communicated to Timothy. An example that included communicating with words. Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." The word doctrine meaning instruction or teaching. And the words Paul spoke were important, very important. They were valuable, they were necessary, and they were powerful. And all that I've said up to this point was not intended to downplay the importance of words. We need to be communicating the right message and a godly example by the words we speak or the words we write or that we type. Our words need to teach the truth. We need to be speaking the truth. Well, that's a novel idea, isn't it, in the age that we live in? Speak the truth. Our words need to communicate love and acceptance and forgiveness. Words are very important. The seriousness of life, as Brother Glenn brought across this pulpit this morning, our words need to convey that and the reality of an eternity of either heaven or hell. So it's important that we communicate the right message by our words, but we must also communicate the right message by our conduct. Paul communicated not only through his words, the right doctrine, instruction, but by his manner of life, as he says there in verse 10, meaning conduct or lifestyle or daily pattern of living. A godly profession or a godly message pretty much goes up in smoke, as we say, when it's supported by an ungodly lifestyle. On the other hand, our actions also speak very, very loudly in purposing to communicate a positive and a godly message. You know, we live in a world where looking out for self is more and more the norm, even if it's at the expense of someone else. It doesn't matter. As long as I get what I want, get to where I want to go, and accomplish what I want to accomplish. Isn't that pretty much the mindset of the world in which we live? But you know, simple, kind acts leave a different message and can have a powerful effect on people's lives. Acts of kindness, which many times consist of just small things, but they're remembered for a very long time, and sometimes they're remembered for a lifetime because they communicate a message. I doubt I'll ever forget in 1997 while I was walking over to Mummert's Bible School. It was one of my responsibility to teach. Walking down the lane and found out that Carol's nephew, Ben, had been killed in a tractor accident. Carol wasn't with me right at the time. For some reason, I was ahead of her, which is unusual. We're usually pretty much together. I'm not sure why that was that night. And I had the responsibility to turn around and go tell her. And I remember Dan Miller and Dan Lehigh being right there in that driveway in the lane and standing there and praying with me. That wasn't out of obligation to minister. That was a kind act. I remember in 2000, waking up after surgery to my leg Monday morning, and there was Brother Robert. Just touched my heart. He wasn't there long, didn't need to be. It's probably good he wasn't, because he was kind of tired, and you know that good to keep them short. But he sent a message. It was a kind act. Think about the kind acts that people have done in your life. Then there's the cards that come with the messages that just sometimes right when you need them. Or a phone call. Years back, or not too long ago, when we were going through a tough time and someone made a phone call to us, and I'll never forget it probably. It was a kind act. Acts of kindness, simple in nature, but not very easily forgotten. They send a message. They communicate something from our life. May we look for more opportunities as part of our lifestyle to do just simple acts of kindness that will speak loudly in a world that's pretty much caught up in. And sometimes, as believers, we get into the same thing. I got to get accomplished what I need to do. I don't have time. And all it is a simple, kind act. Sends a powerful message, communicates. A third way that we communicate is communicating through our purpose. Paul said to Timothy, "But thou hast fully known my purpose," in verse 10. This speaks of our motives, I believe, behind our conduct. Is it our heart's desire to fulfill the purpose that God has designed for your life, for my life? What's the driving force of my life? What's my purpose? We communicate by how we live out our purpose. Well, I got another Charlie Brown for you. "Life is a mystery," Charlie Brown said, "Lucy. Do you know the answer?" Charlie Brown replied, "Be kind, don't smoke, be prompt, smile a lot, eat sensibly, avoid cavities and mark your ballot carefully, avoid too much sun, send overseas packages early, love all creatures above and below, insure your belongings and try to keep the ball low." Evidently, Charlie Brown knew something about pitching. While Charlie Brown had some really good thoughts, certainly the purpose of life is much more than that, isn't it? The driving force in our heart. When we live life with a godly purpose that affects how we live and what we do, it communicates a message to others. Fourthly, we communicate by our faith. Paul said, "Thou hast fully known my faith." And the meaning here of faith is more in the line of faithfulness or faithful under pressure. The idea of being true to the Lord, to what we believe through thick or thin. When our faith sustains us through not only the good times, but also the bad. Now, I'd like to meet you too if you don't have any burdens, like Brother Ken said. You're either very unusual or you. I hope nobody put their hand up today. I was going to say you might be lying. We all have them, I think. Sometimes they get heavier than others. When our faith sustains us, we communicate a message. Paul went on to say to Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my long suffering." We communicate through our patience. Patience. When we are patient with people, instead of easily irritated or frustrated, we communicate a positive message. And I remember, and I hesitate to say this because I'm not saying it to elevate myself, because I know the times, and my family could back this up, and Carol especially, when I've not been patient. I remember one time standing in that day. Bank in East Berlin, this is pretty many years back when it was still at the old spot, the Adams County Bank. Something was going on and was taking a while. I don't remember what it was. Just standing there waiting. And sometime after that, the teller said to Carol something about me waiting. Is he always that patient or something? Or is he? Again, not to elevate myself, but the point is it does send a message, doesn't it? In a world that's caught up again, it's in a fast-paced action world, and it's easy to lose our patience, and I'm gonna just tear back down what I put up with myself, because I've found it's harder and harder to be patient in my own life. And sometimes, especially on the highway, and some of the things that happen, and I just want to tense up instead of just being patient. But if we lose our patience with someone and then try to share Christ's love and forgiveness with them, you think they're going to listen? I don't think so. We'll also communicate a negative message with believers when we should be patient with them and we're not. Not all believers are at the same place in life. Not all believers. Are the same when it comes to maturity spiritually. But I'll tell you something. We all stand on the same ground when we stand at the cross. We need to be patient. It sends quite a message, I believe, to other people. We communicate through our words, our conduct, our purpose, our faithfulness, and patience. And then Paul went on and he said, "Thou hast fully known my charity." We communicate through our love. We communicate a message by how we love. You know, I can say, "I love you, I love you, I love you," till I'm blue in the face. But I need to back it up in my attitude and actions, don't I? True love does not have selfish motives. And this is something that I need to get a hold of, and I think we all do. True love does not have selfish motives. Rather, it wants and it does what's best for the one that we say we love. Think about that. If I really love you, then I'm not going to demand this from you if it's not for your best. We communicate through our love and how we share that with other people. Paul went on to say, "Thou hast fully known my patience." Now, this is a different word than the word that was translated long-suffering previously in the verse. Patience here means more the idea of enduring or persevering. We communicate by enduring and persevering in life. Mike Cohen was a former professional football player, and he was once asked by a coach to do some recruiting. He said, "What kind of player are you looking for, coach?" The coach said, "Mike, there's a guy, when you knock him down, he stays down." Mike said, "We don't want him, do we, coach?" "No, we don't." "There's also that player, when you knock him down, he gets up, and then when you knock him down again, he stays down." Mike replied, "We don't want him either, coach." "Mike," the coach went on, he said, "Mike, there's a man you can knock down and he gets up. You knock him down and he gets up. You knock him down and he gets up." Mike said, "That's the guy we want, coach." The coach went on to say, "No, we don't want him either. I want you to find a man who's knocking everyone down. That's the man I want." On the football field, I suppose that's right. But in life, the believer who gets knocked down and gets up and gets knocked down and gets up and gets knocked down and says, Lord, help me back up, and continues to persevere, whether it's being knocked down by his own fault or his own sins or being knocked down by someone else. He keeps reaching up to the Lord and saying, get me up, and perseveres to the end. Do you think that sends a message? Yes, it does. A message of persevering and of enduring. A powerful message. And finally, we communicate through the pain that we experience. Paul reminds Timothy, thou hast known my persecutions. In verse 11, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions? I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Afflictions there means hardship or pain. You know, any persecution or hardship or we experience, how we respond to that communicates a message. And you know, through those experiences, we also may be better capable of communicating with those who now we can better relate to. Communicating through our pain. You know, in life, we're leaving our mark on people. Now, whether we like it to think about that or not, we are leaving our mark on people. We're communicating to them in various ways. It's not just words. As important as our words are, we're communicating in various ways. You know, the sad thing is, it only takes that one time where I really mess it up that I can really mess up my message sometimes to a person. And it's hard to regain that. We communicate by our words, yes, right doctrine, teaching, keeping the truths of the faith pure, very important. But like Paul, it's also important that we communicate in a right way through our conduct, purpose, faithfulness, patience with others, the love we demonstrate, enduring and persevering, and even through persecution and pain that we may experience. Someone has wrote, none of us may ever be famous, but there's a good chance that we'll influence someone who will influence someone who will influence someone else who will do great things for the Lord. Dr. Paul Carlson was a missionary physician in Congo, and he was slain for his faith. His death had a profound influence around the world. He was only 36 years old. But God greatly used the news of his murder to advance the cause of Christ in Africa. But wait, who influenced Carlson? Clarence and Florence Johnson, overseers of the summer Bible camp that Carlson attended every year as a teenager, were highly influential during his formative years. No one may ever write a biography of Clarence and Florence Johnson, but they once had a high school student whose pathway crossed their own on a repeated basis, and whether they realized it or not, Paul Carlson was mentored by them. And he followed their example. There may not be a biography wrote about you. I don't think there'll be one wrote about me. But I guarantee you that each of us crossing paths with people that we're influencing. Some of them are going to influence somebody else. Who's going to influence somebody else? It's all about what we're communicating. What message are we communicating to these individuals who cross our path?